Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. New beginnings are not just for the young. New beginnings are for all of us. And praise God that we serve a Father, a God that just allows us new beginnings, gives us second chances, a God that operates in grace, extends such grace to us and through teaching us about forgiveness and grace with one another. I'm Suzanne, and I'm here with you this evening on Wednesday, November 5th. Wow, November 5th, 2014. And we're going to talk about marriage this evening. Praise God. This is part two of a discussion on marriage that we had actually 2 weeks ago. And we started off just in general talking about marriage. So we're going to pick up where we left off, and hopefully we'll have lots of discussion. If you're calling in and you would like session, remember this is a live Bible study, interactive live Bible study. Your comments are welcome. Your questions are welcome. And if I can't answer it, my husband or someone else online may be able to answer it, or together we can search the Word of God and find an answer. So either way, you're going to be covered. So let's enjoy ourselves this evening. Enjoy this time together in the Word. If you're listening by Internet and unable to call, if you would like to chat, you can send a chat. There's an icon right there on the web page, and just hit chat, and I'll receive your message or question, and you can interact in that way. So I'll read it out loud so that others will know that you're with us, so that you have comments or other discussion with the topic that we're on this evening. Now, if you're archiving this message, remember we have an archive of all of our messages for the last, it's almost 2 years, praise the Lord, of all the messages. If there's something that you have missed, go in the archives and you can listen to those things, download it on your phone, your tablet, your computer, open it up and just listen to it where it is, just for immediate listening or download for later on. Or if you want to download and share it, send it to someone else, you're more than welcome to do that. We don't own the body of Christ. We don't own the Word of God. We just preach the Word of God. We share the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's get started. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father God, that you would bless the hearers and this word, dear Lord, that they will be blessed by the ministry that will go forth this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you've allowed us this venue, Father God, and allowed us to even celebrate almost 2 years. I can't believe it. So, Father God, we believe, Father, that we're doing your will and continuing in this ministry and continuing with ministry online. So we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father God, for the innovative ways, Father God, that we have today for sharing your holy word. We thank you, dear Lord, and I ask you, Father God, to just guide my conversation to that the Holy Spirit would lead me in the direction and that I'd be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to follow and to be obedient. We thank you, dear Lord. If there be anyone in the listening audience that would like to join in with the conversation as we go, if you would press 1 on your keypad, that will indicate, I'll receive the indication that you would like to be heard, and I will open up the mic for you. Other than that, right now we're just going to start the teaching. So, as I said, last time we were together and talking about marriage, I am using a couple of references. One of the reference books is a book that I'm also using with the Bible study that I co-facilitate on Monday evenings. And the ladies, and that's an all-ladies Bible study, but this is not something specifically to women. When we talk about marriage and family is not gender-specific. We have our roles within the marriage. We have our roles within the family, but it should be a concern and a joint effort to create healthy environments, healthy marriages, healthy families. Thank you. So the two books that I'll be referencing this evening, the first one is The Word Work, And it's a handbook of scripture from, and it's written by Shirley Greenslade, and she's a saint, a senior pastor of Agape Word and Worship Center right in Solon, Ohio. It's a very good book. This is maybe my third copy of it because I've worn it out. If you're looking for scripture, just hands-on, quick scripture to read. Of course, you can get a lot online right now, but I like having that in my hand because I can put my notes in it and use it as a journal also, reminding me of last year this time, this is what I was praying about, and praise God, here's the praise report because such and such and such and such is going on now. So it's a reminder. Sometimes we get away from we get wrapped up in our prayer, and when the prayer is answered, we ask people to pray with us and to be in agreement with us. But when the prayer is answered, we fail to go back and share the praise report. We fail to go back and run and tell everyone about what the Lord has done and how he's done it and how faithful he is, how faithful he is to us. The other book that I'm using is Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And this book is by Nancy Lee DeMoss with a foreword by Elizabeth Elliott. And if you're familiar with Moody Broadcasting, she's often on Moody Broadcasting and often consulted with family issues. She also has a Bible study, a radio program, a Bible study, and has written several books. Now, when we reference different books other than the Bible, it doesn't mean that you believe in everything that author has said and has written, but there are things that we can use, nuggets that we can use. And I believe that in this chapter, especially talking about marriage, the Nancy Lee DeMoss really, really hits the nail on the head. We will be using our Bible, and this evening I'll be using an Amplified Bible. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So last time we were together, we talked about lies that women believe and how we can get caught up in the lies and ruin our marriage. Remember, the enemy's mission is to destroy marriages and families, because marriage is a model of the relationship that the Lord wants with us. Marriage is a model of that. God's word tells us that husbands are to love their wives the way that Jesus loved the church. And that's a lot of love. Jesus sacrificed himself for the church, that kind of love. And God's word tells us that women are to respect and hold their husbands in esteem, high esteem. We're supposed to respect them. Honor them, and we have examples with Sarah especially. Oh my goodness, with Sarah especially, the way that she conducted herself in her relationship, that interpersonal relationship between she and Abraham. Well, the enemy has a way of speaking lies to us, causing us to believe things that are not true. So we hear things like sometimes it's better to divorce, or we start complaining and complaining about things that our spouse may do or may not do, and complain about it continuously. So we take the small things and we make them larger. We doom our own marriage by inviting the enemy into our marriages in different ways, by discontinuing affection, by not participating in the marriage and the relationship. Relationship is two, you know, it takes two people, in the marriage, the communication, the interaction, the time you spend together. You get it out of a marriage what you put into the marriage. The enemy has us fooled into believing that we're supposed to be so-called happy. Last night I was at a meeting, and one of the women at the meeting was talking about the song by Pharrell, Happy, and everybody's so happy about the song, but it's just a song. It's just a song. Happiness is fleeting, depending upon your perspective. So something that would make one person happy may not make the other person happy. Happiness is, so therefore I'd like to say that happiness is a choice. So when we say that he does not make me happy anymore, he are not responsible for making you happy. They are your responsibility to look at the point of view that you may or may not have where it comes to your relationship and when it comes to marriage. Do you have any comments? I hear a lot of commotion. The lines are open. Do you have any comments or anyone who would like to add at this point? Okay. People think, women especially, men too, but women especially, because we're more emotional, we have a tendency to think that someone is supposed to make us happy, that someone is supposed to make us happy. And that's not necessarily, so. No one has the power to make you happy or to make you sad. It is your perspective on happiness or perspective with life. Women as emotional creatures are, you know, fluctuate. So as a woman of God, we have to learn how to commit our emotions and our viewpoint, our perspective on life and our relationship to the Lord. So we have to go to Scripture. We should go to Scripture first instead of your girlfriend and complaining, instead of the guys group complaining, instead of escaping in a game, instead of escaping by not talking, instead of filing for divorce, instead of leaving or whatever, that you talk to one another, you speak out the word. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about relationships? Because that's what this kingdom is about. It's about the relationship. When we talk about the body of Christ, it's not just that the head can't move without the feet. It's because they have a relationship, that they work together, that the body works together. The relationship is so important. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. When we take the Lord out of the equation, that's when we have problems. When we take the word out of the equation, that's when we have problems. There is no marriage. The truth is, the absolute truth is that there is no marriage that God cannot heal. And I'm taking this directly from Nancy Lee DeMoss's book, Lies Women Believe. The primary purpose of marriage is not to be happy, but to glorify God and reflect his redeeming covenant love. God uses the rough edges of each person in a marriage to conform the other to the image of Christ. Your mate's weaknesses can become a tool in God's hand to make you into the man or woman he created you to be. So those things that may irritate you, some things that you may have thought were cute, oh, he'll change, oh, she'll change, it's not going to be like that forever, or because it irritates you, it seems like it's magnified 100, 200 times, maybe the same thing that's going to be, that's going to make a difference in your marriage, that God can use it. God can use it. Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. True love, God's love, is unconditional and never fails. We cannot love another human being perfectly on our own. Human beings are flawed. Human beings are sometimey. We talk about emotions. Human beings are up one day and down the other. Liking something one day, change your mind the other way. They were fickle. We're driven by emotions. We're driven by circumstances. But God does not change. His love is unconditional. He will not change. His resume says so. He will never, ever fail. We can never, ever love another human being the way that the Lord loves us. And you think about even your children, when your baby, a new baby is born, and how much love new parents feel for this new baby, holding this baby and oohing and aahing over this baby. Like, how could anyone love anyone as much as I love, you know, as I love my child? I remember when my first child was born, I loved her so much that I was afraid that the Lord would be jealous because I loved her that much that it hurt. It made me think about my grandmother when she would say, I'll squeeze the giblets out of you. I just love you so much that I can't stop hugging you, that I have to touch you when I'm around you. When you think about that and you think that the Lord has enough love for each and every individual on this earth and he loves us so much that he will not let us go. Praise God. Praise God. Love is not a feeling. It is a commitment to act in the best interest of another. Love is not a feeling. By God's grace, we can choose to love anyone. It's a choice. Even if we do not have warm feelings toward that person, even if you don't have erotic love, in America, we think that, you know, that loving someone means that that your heart goes pitter patter, that you see Cupid with the arrows and stars, and that you feel, you know, you feel warm all over. And I won't go into any more graphics, but you all know what I'm saying. It's not like that. It's not that we choose to love someone. And in a marriage, you choose daily. Every day is a new day. Every day you start over. Every day you recommit. Every single day. Marriage is a covenant, and we serve a covenant-keeping God. Praise the Lord. He keeps his promises, not only to you and I, but he keeps his promises to the world. He is keeping his, we see evidence right before us when we watch the news of him keeping his promises to the nation of Israel. Even though they're spiritually adulterous, this is coming. This part is coming from Nancy's book. Even though they pursue other lovers, even though they're not operating like they were designed to operate, you know, like they were, they're not following the guidelines as they should. They're not acting in a loving way. God still chooses to love them, and the Lord still says, I will keep my covenant with you, my broken covenant with you. Praise God. The Lord Jesus keeps his promises to his bride, the church, even when we are unfaithful to him. Because he is faithful to keep his promises, it is never right for us to break the marriage covenant that was intended to be a picture of the redemptive relationship between God and his people. I'm going to stop here and open up the mics for a minute. And if you have something to share, please, please feel free. Please feel free. All the mics are open. All those who indicated, those that are online right now, your mic is open. Do you have anything to share or to add? Do we have any single people online with us right now on the telephone line?
Yes, I'm single.
Okay. Okay, are you single? Have you always been single, or have you ever been married? Or
no, I haven't ever been married.
Okay, okay. This message is for you, too.
Yes, I know. I'm seeing myself in it because it's just not the marriage, but it even goes over into relationships.
Exactly.
You know, with a man and a woman, or friends, women and women, men and men. It is a covenant. It is love.
Right.
It's going beyond ourselves and seeing the other person. You know, I like this subject. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Amen.
Because I'm single. I'm seeing, you know, I'm hearing you, and I'm seeing myself and preparing myself as well, you know. Seeing myself in the marriage and the covenant that God has with us that we should have with one another. It should not be broken. Yeah, and I like what you said about us being human and being, you know, even women or people. We are fickle, you know.
Right.
We go on up and down, in and out.
Right, but he doesn't change. He stays.
He does not change.
He stays. He stays.
Yes.
He stays. And he gives us time. That's the other thing that gives us time. He's so forgiving. He's so forgiving. His grace. His grace.
Yeah.
His grace. And you think back, like, you know, how the older women are supposed to minister to the younger women, teach the younger women. That, and there's a reason for that, because as we mature, especially as we mature in the Lord, we, our perspective changes. Because our experiences have brought us to a place where we have wisdom that we can share. So,
right.
So we're supposed to model it in our everyday living, you know, in our day-to-day comings and goings in our homes. You know, in our community, so that even your neighbors see you, in the workplace, that those people at work, you know, can pick up that you're a little different. You're a little bit different than I do. And most importantly, that you have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You have peace. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
and
God.
You're so right. You're so right. It is about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And in preparation, we're going to go there too. And I'm hoping we
praise
have time to go there with that too. But marriage is such a blessing. It's a blessing for those who are called to be married.
Yes.
And it's a job. It's a job because it doesn't get easy. It doesn't get easy. But there's a commitment that's supposed to be there. And there when you're in the Lord, especially, there's the covenant, and the kingdom. I remember being in one Bible study, and a lady, it was a marriage Bible study, couples Bible study, rather. And one of the ladies in the couple said that it just bothers her because she sees people who aren't saved, and they're getting everything that they want, and they seem so happy. Well, how is it that some people in the body of Christ aren't getting what they want, and they're not happy? Well, it's because they were in agreement. Okay?
Wow.
Even those that are not saved, if they are in agreement and they come together in agreement, it's the agreement that makes things successful, that makes the relationship successful. It's the commitment to one another that makes the relationship so successful. It's that covenant, honoring the covenant, that no matter what, you know, this we both of this together. I remember, and I hope my father, I don't think my father would mind, you know, marriage, people go through ups and downs, just like with your siblings. You can be raised in the same house and have totally different perspectives.
So true.
You know, in the same house, same parents, got the same everything. You can
so
be twins.
True.
You can be twins, you know, identical twins, and have a totally different perspective on life or on something that just happened right in front of you, because you live your life experiences where you're standing, and your views on life has a lot to do with the way you interpret it, interpret what you see, interpret what you feel. So I said all that to say that, why did I say that?
Your dad.
To say that, with my parents, their marriage wasn't perfect all the time, but they stayed together.
Yeah.
And I remember even in the end when my mother was passing, that they said, you know, I remember my mother saying, he's not such a bad guy. He's a good guy, you know.
Wow.
take care of your dad. And I remember my father saying that she's his partner, you know. He says that's my partner, you know. That's his life partner. Like, why would anyone think anything different just because they, you know, trust about something for a time doesn't mean it's the end of the world. You know,
right.
we that. We get like that, but we stick it out. We stick it out, and we have respect for one another. The enemy will tell you, though, that you're not being loved, that you're not being cared for, that mm-hmm. it's all, like the grass is always greener on the other side,
mm-hmm.
that there's more to life than this, or whatever. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't give us, there are some reasons for divorce, but there's mm-hmm. very few. I refuse to believe that with as much divorce as we hear about, that it was those criteria were met, that the covenants had been broken like that. I think
right.
people, we live in this microwave society where we want everything instantaneously, and we want it our way, just like Burger King, you want it your way.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it my way, well, then I can get somebody who can do it my way. The
mm-hmm.
interesting thing is that even when people think they're going to get somebody to do it their way, they basically marry the same person over again.
Wow.
So, which is funny. Like they say, it's the same circus, just different clowns.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is. But the truth is, let's go back to the truth. That God has commanded us to forgive without limit. So how many times should we forgive? 70 times 7. And suppose if you reach that 70 times 7, then you give them another 70 times 7. Because we're supposed to be forgiving. To hold in bitterness, to establish, to allow a root of bitterness to be established in your marriage and in within you, brings on sickness and dis-ease. Disease, as we know it, comes from dis-ease, uneasiness.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Unease, praise God. Your faithfulness and willingness to extend sacrificial love to your mate may be the means of his spiritual healing or her spiritual healing. Sacrificial love. So what do we mean when we say sacrificial love? That means that even when they're acting unlovely, that we love them. That means it's not just sexual. And sexuality and intimacy has a lot to do with it. But we shouldn't get with just the sexual. It has an awful lot to do with it because that's part of your covenant. That's part of the symbols of the covenant, of the marriage covenant, is the marriage bed. To express yourself sexually is to reenact or renew your covenant. Continuously renew your covenant. But what we want to make sure that we say, sacrificial love means that when you don't feel like doing such and such, an act of love, maybe washing a car or fixing somebody's plate or going to the grocery store or making the bed. You know what I'm saying? Just different things.
Mm-hmm.
One interprets love in different ways. A car saying hello or, you know, good morning, I love you or something. But you do it anyway. You sacrifice self and what you may be feeling for the truth. And the truth is that as a child of God, you should be walking in forgiveness.
That's good.
Child, you should be ministering healing and love to your mate within your household. You let the enemy into your home, you don't do the things you're supposed to do within your household. You let the enemy. And so people get so far away from their marriage and wonder, well, what happened? I don't know what happened. Everything was good, and, you know, we just kind of grew apart. No such thing as kind of grew apart. You grow apart because somebody retreats.
Wow, that's good.
Because someone retreats. Because of when people become stiff-necked and refuse counsel, refuse the word, they turn away from the marriage, from the covenant, and are turning away from God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's on.
Hello?
Yes,
Hello?
I can hear you.
Another thing that you have to be careful of is outside influences.
Oh, very good.
a lot of times in marriage, in a young marriage, for one thing, is that you have to be careful of who you are with. You know, your friends, when you first get married, you still keep your friends with you, and you have to understand that the ones that are single can be a bad influence towards you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So you know, when my wife and I got married, mm-hmm. we kind of slowly got away from our single influences.
Amen.
See, because you know, if you have a single friend, say like with a man, and that's one of the biggest things in a marriage. A man, a lot of times, he want to hang with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hang with the boys and they're single, what do you think they're going to do?
They're liable to do anything.
They're looking mm-hmm. for single right. females, and you're caught up in that trap. So you have to be
right.
careful of who you are partner with as far as friends. You know,
mm-hmm.
what we did, we in the church, we got with married couples, and
that's
we
right.
made sure that they were stable. You know, and if they weren't, then we had to be strong enough to be an influence to them in their relationship. You know,
mm-hmm.
so a lot of that, a lot in marriage also, because you're not going to just be locked down or in your house and it's just you and your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be moving around, and so you have to be careful of who influences you in your life.
That's good. I like, and I just want to interject, I like what you said about married couples that are stable in the church, because we have a lot that aren't stable in the church. And it's almost like you're hooking up with somebody single or two married people that are single in their marriage. So I like what you said about that, a stable couple.
Right.
A stable
Amen.
Couple to be a, yeah, sort of a mentor, yeah.
Thank you for sharing
yeah.
that, too.
That sounds like Bishop.
The enemy will tell us that, you know, you believe what the society says, that marriage mm-hmm. is boring, or that marriage is, you know, is too confined, it's, you know, this, that, and the other. What I found so hilarious, and I don't know if you all feel the same way, is that when we talk about same-sex marriage, you know, they're fighting for the right to get married. Well, so now it's exciting. So I just don't, you know, it can't be both.
You're right.
So,
that's so true.
So people weren't getting married, and you have couples like living together forever, right. then wanting the Lord to bless that. Well, you can't make your mess and then say, like, you know, God, please bless this. You know, this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. And Lord, if you would like kiss me and make everything all right. So we walk ourselves into mess, into confusion. The other thing is that when the enemy gets into a marriage, it affects the whole family. Not
yes.
just the children in that household, actually
mm-hmm.
not just the family, but it
mm-hmm.
affects those that are around them. So your you know, the your in-laws, the other relatives, it affects your neighbors. When people get divorced, neighbors don't even know how to, like, how do I react, you know, especially if they had a relationship with a couple, you know, how do I react? Am I supposed, you know, what am I supposed to do? Where's my loyalty lie? It changes the dynamic of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful and be protective. Now, I also want to say this, and then I want to go back to some of the lies. That does not mean that some people, it doesn't mean that if you've been divorced or if you've ever lived with anyone, that the Lord will not forgive you and allow you to come into a healthy covenant of marriage
with someone else.
I do not believe that. I do not believe that. And I know some churches that teach that if you're divorced, that you cannot remarry, because to get married would be adultery. And for someone to marry you, then they would also be an adulterer because you've already been married. So I believe that it's about the, you know, if you say, if you're saved and you know the Lord, that the different reasons is the covenant, and the covenant was broken, well, then, you know, I believe that our spiritual leadership in our churches, and definitely to pray about it, is where we should go. The first thing we should do is pray, search the scriptures. That should be the first choice. And just like the gentleman was just saying about who you let in your marriage to influence your marriage, your girlfriend and boyfriend, you know, and, you know, buddies are not the ones. When you to your first go-to should be the Word of God, because there's nothing in this world that's not addressed in the Bible. Nothing new under the sun. And you should seek out wise counsel. You know, Proverbs teaches us to seek out wise counsel, to go to the leaders in the church, go to people that have had success in marriage, who are godly people, who you can trust. But just to have, just to sit down and just chew the fat, yap about it, have a pity party and a complaining session, does no one any good, except it makes the, it makes the enemy happy. So he and his imps are having a party, laughing.
Yes,
and
they are.
Having a good time because you crying, because you're all messed up and hurt, your feelings are hurt, and you're sharing with people who can't do any more than you can do. You know, so we have to be careful. I remember my grandmother telling my sister and I when we became of age about some experiences that she had, and she would say, you know, your girlfriends are, it's good to have good friends. It is very good. It's difficult to find someone that's a real true friend, and if you have a real true woman of God friend that you could. That, you know, you should hold on to them, but to just have a lot of folks hanging at your house, that's not biblical.
Amen.
Keep your girlfriends out of the house. If you don't share with your girlfriends about like how good your man is and what he bought you and how good he makes love and all of that, that's nobody's business. That's between you and your husband. And to say all that makes that girlfriend jealous and says, well, she wants that too. That'll be the same girlfriend, and this is what my nana would say, that'll be the same girlfriend trying to get your husband, trying to break you all up so she can have your husband. So that'll be the same girlfriend that'll tell you when you're complaining to her about something that he did, or, you know, for our male listeners that are listening, switch it around, just change the genders, but about something that he did, The same girlfriend will tell you, girl, if I were you, I wouldn't take that. I'd divorce him. You know, if I were you, I'd so-and-so. You know, that would be the same person that will do that, because she knows how good you have it, okay, and the potential for a relationship, for a good relationship. The enemy will do some, will play some crazy tricks on us. We have to be wise, though. We have to be wise with wisdom, with our with how we conduct our relationship. Okay, another one is, you don't solve your problems by putting another pair of shoes under the bed. Now that sounds like a man with a wisdom.
Yeah.
God's grace is sufficient to enable you to be faithful to your mate and to love and forgive without limit. God will never forsake you, regardless of what you must endure. He will be there to carry you through. He will be there to carry you through. Now, in the case of domestic violence, in the case of broken covenant, like if there's infidelity, that's different. That's a broken covenant. The Lord didn't call us to be emotional or physical punching bags to anyone, male or female. There are female abusers, too. So I'm not just talking to women. They're female abusers, too. The Lord didn't call us to be in situations like that. You're supposed to take care of yourself. And, you know, think health first. Think about health and make healthy choices. and that would not be a healthy choice, and that person is not acting as a person of God and not honoring the covenant. So that's the key, the covenant. Okay. The rewards of faithfulness in this life may not be fully experienced until eternity, but faithfulness will be rewarded, and it will be worth the wait. So your you want the personal celebration for your faithfulness. If you don't get it here, you'll have it in eternity. But I want to remind you that there is still a celebration because you have your legacy that you are leaving in the body of Christ. You have your legacy that you're leaving in within your family tree on how you conducted yourself, how you stood for your marriage, how you taught your daughters and sons to pray, how you taught them to protect their relationship, how you taught them, and they'll do the same for their children and their children and their children's children and so forth. It goes on and on and on and on and on. But again, forgiveness is the only way to receive God's best, and it's one day at a time. Mm-hmm. One day at a time. I can't predict what's going to happen next year. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have today. When and if I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll have tomorrow. And that day, I will commit again to forgiveness. I will commit to forgiveness. I will commit to my marriage again. I will commit to my relationships again. I will commit to my covenants again, one day at a time. I can only go one day at a time. It's too monumental to even think about, beyond that, what it would be like, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. But I can look back, and I can praise the Lord for what he's brought me through. I can look back, and I can celebrate and have a praise report for somebody else, for another sister, or for another couple, and tell them that if they just take a stand, if they just continue to pray, if they just hold hands and do things together, if they make time for one another, if they recommit to their relationship, this is what will happen. I can say that. I can say that. We have to remember that our covenants are promises too. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
I like that, what you said about day by day, doing it again the next day. It keeps it fresh. It keeps your relationship fresh, and it keeps it moving. You're not stagnant and stale, but it's just like God's word. He says his mercies are new every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. So forgiveness comes every morning. Or, this is good. This is good.
Every day is new. Any more comments?
Amen.
I want to interject on another thing that you have to realize in your marriage is that you always got to be open towards each other. You can't hide anything. If you have everything on the table, even some of the things that might have hurt you in the past, if all of that is open, then there's no hidden agendas, So have everything before you even enter into the covenant of marriage, sit down and relate to your future spouse all the things that maybe took place in your life, and just have a pouring out session so you both understand. And then one of the first things you need to do before you even get married is visit each other's family. See, because a lot of times what you see in the family is what you want to get down, or you'll see what you're dealing with. And then you can take out, like when you form in your family after marriage, you can take out some of the good that you liked in her family and some of the good that you liked in his family, and leave the rest out, and that's how you formulate your
that's
own plan.
Good.
Because
that's
you're going to have some history. You know, you need some history to work with. And just have an open relationship and keep the negative portions out, you know. And then, you know, because, see, there's always going to be some baggage.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal with that baggage, you know. And the first thing to do before you get married is to consult God and say, God, this is what I want. Or he already knows what you want. But, you know, like what I did, I prayed that God send me a wife. And he lined that wife up. And 25 years later, we're still together.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, I agree with you, brother. You're absolutely right about meeting the family. One thing about it is that, and you know how I feel about spiritual warfare, is that it teaches you how to pray. You know, if you're in relationship with someone, you see, like, different family traits that are going on, even with your own family, like in our family, I'm still praying and breaking different things, curses and things that have, you know, have come up in the family repeatedly, you know, maybe different forms, but it's still the same root. It's still the same root. So breaking that, it's about being honest, too, you know, the honesty in relationship, because to be dishonest, sometimes it damages the relationship. To not communicate damages the relationship, because then you leave people to their imagination. If you're not being honest, if you're not communicating, then people are left to their own imaginations, and the enemy, you know, that's another thing he gets in and creates other scenarios. You know, and escape other scenarios, very divisive scenarios. We were talking about the families and everything. My son is getting married, and we talk about families. Like, everybody's family is crazy. Everybody has a bunch of stuff in their family, right? All of us do.
Something's going on in each family.
Right. It's nothing, and like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. You just want to know what level of craziness you're getting into, because it's going to be some kind of craziness. And so I think that, like, the young lady he's marrying, she has the acceptable level of craziness, because it blends well with our craziness. So, So when you have compatible, so if you can have, and I'm just joking, but equally yoked with your crazy folks. But you got two, I got two. You got somebody who does this, you know. You got a aunt such and such. Oh yeah, I got one of those too. But you should know. The thing is that you should know about being honest and honesty throughout marriage. That nothing hidden, because that just opens up the way for the enemy. Now, there's some scriptures that I wanted to share, and I won't take too long reading them, but before I do that, is there anyone else that would like to share? Anyone else?
I wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
Sisters, make sure that man is a working man and that he has ambitions to work. Even if he don't have a job at that moment, if he's laid back, if not looking to, then you're going to have problems all through your marriage. But make sure that he is a guy that will have to get up and go.
Mm-hmm. But thank you. I appreciate that. But I don't have anybody. That's my...
Well, when you're looking, these are some of the attributes you're going to look for.
Yes,
you know, a lot of times single people don't attend marriage seminars thinking that it's just for the marriage person, but that's good for you to attend so you can learn and see what kind of attributes you're looking for in a man.
Oh, I like that. Yes, absolutely.
And remember the last time we talked about this subject, we talked about how, you know, how the Word tells us to write down the vision and make it plain.
Oh, I already wrote mine.
Okay, yeah. Keep writing. Journal. If you journal, you're writing it down. There's something about writing it down. When you write it down, it comes to pass. Even
praise
writing
God.
Down goals and having them there before you. But those are some of the things that you want to make sure are that you're looking for. See, the enemy will sing perfect, and you'll say, oh, but this must be the one because he's such and such and such and such. You know, that he just, you know, he must be the one. But he may not be the one. If you have your list that you've been praying over, you'll be able to look at the list and say, nah, he's not the one because he doesn't have a job. Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't, because these are the things that I am definitely looking for. You can't get caught up with the emotions and with the heart. You have to do it just like business. This is serious. This is very, very serious. Very serious. And again, younger sisters are watching you. Folks are watching you. So, and you're leaving a legacy. You're speaking to the body of Christ. Your spiritual sisters and daughters are watching you. So we have to make wise decisions. So stay in the Word, write.
Amen.
Journal. Then you come up with your concise list. Because when you come up with a list, sometimes you'll discover that that's not what that's not what the Lord would have me to have. You know, that's not godly. You know, or not necessarily not godly, because that sounds harsh, but that's not what where the Lord is dealing with, is taking you. But you'll know because you've prayed, because you've written, because you've journaled. Because you've read the Word, and because you've accepted teaching. You've accepted teaching to be surrounded by and willing to counsel. Well, in the book, The Word Works, it has scriptures in it. And I believe that as you read scripture, that you can interject your own name. For example, one of the scriptures says, we have left our parents, are joined to each other, and have become one. We are as one body. So I could say, John and I have left our parents, are joined to each other, and have become one. We are as one body. And that comes from Genesis 2:24. What's another one? Together we are better than one. When one falls, the other lifts him up. Christ, my spouse, and I make a threefold cord that is not easily broken.
That's good.
Christ, my husband, John, and I make a threefold cord that is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. John and I delight ourselves in you, Lord. You give us the desires of our heart, and you perfect all things that concern us. That's Psalm 37:4 and Psalm 138:8. John and I, and you need to interject your name. And for those who are not married, you could say, my future spouse and I, because you're speaking it into existence. You're speaking life to your relationship,
Amen.
And life to the future relationship. John and I have become one. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Genesis 2:24 and Romans 5:5. God instructs, teaches, and guides us by His Holy Spirit in every area of our marriage. And that's what we're going to do, commit our entire marriage to the Lord. John and I are of one mind, compassionate, loving, and courteous toward one another. We respect what each other and dwell in peace. Therefore, our prayers are not hindered in any way. Praise God. 1 Peter 3:8-7. Okay, this book, there's so many more, but if you just go through some of the scriptures for like healing your marriage, strengthening your marriage, you can go through them online and just interject your name, your spouse's name, or your future spouse's name. My husband, you could put that in there. but and pray these scriptures. Pray these scriptures over your home, over your marriage. We're going to close now. Thank you all so much for listening. Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time, this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that the word has gone forth, dear Lord. If I've been in error in any way, Father God, please correct me, Father God, and let it be known, Father God. Speak to each and every listener, Father God, each of the listeners that's actively listening at this moment, Father God, and those who will listen in the future, Father God, that they will be blessed by this ministry, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God. We lift up all marriages right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that you have brought man and woman together in yes. marriage, Father God, in holy matrimony, dear Lord, that a threefold cord will not easily be broken, that you will be in the midst of it, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that our households, Father God, are blessed because we are committing our households to you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the marriage covenant. We thank you, Father God, for your guidance, for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for putting people out there before us, Father God, to lead us, Father God, and those, Father God, that we can minister to, Father God, as they are following us. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Amen and amen. Have a good night, folks. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing the good news. I want praise reports, and I will talk to you next week. Praise the Lord.
God bless.
Bye.